whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to start the show and talk about the sports we saw. Inside jokes and takes from Danger and Battaglia. Bills and the Sabres and the Amherst. Who gave a microphone to these jerks? Gene's a big timer, a social misfit. Clueless to the title of the biggest bus gang hits. Yeah. Chuck Munchie's goons have the last say. So thanks for your time, Mr. Mayo. Danger likes his cold ones and he likes his bears. But this is Rochester, cute princessa!
Oval kiss.
He's critical of Sean, he's critical of Alan.
Of course he married Sandy, cause she's Italian!
Yeah. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. With Danger and Battaglia.
A very good afternoon to you as we welcome you on into the sports bar. Rochester's only local sports talk show. It's Danger and Battaglia. We appreciate you checking us out. If you're listening locally at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free-to-download Odyssey app. You've got us on YouTube as well, our channel, The Fan Rochester. Like, subscribe while you're there. We stream every afternoon from 3 until 6 on Twitch as well at The Fan Rochester. I'm Danger. That's Battaglia.
I'm trying to weigh out here. Did we really have an issue with the heat, or am I just super soft? Now, here's the fact, Danger. That thermostat is busted.
Hasn't worked since.
Hasn't worked.
Late summer.
Yeah.
Thermostat, or the thermometer in studio today says?
64.
That's the temperature of my house while I'm sleeping at night.
Ooh, I like it cooler than that.
You go cooler than 64.
Well, the executive producer will put it at 62. I'll go 60, but I'm careful. I shouldn't admit that on the air.
I can't call you soft if you're sleeping in a 60 degree house. You too can dress like a New England fisherman in our studio, like I have today, and feel nice and cozy and toasty warm. I don't know what the Dandalorian's problem is.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Danger, that as soon as we started squawking, all of a sudden, the landlord, let's turn the heat up here a little bit in the building. Honestly, because I can't control the heat. The thermostat is busted.
That's
here.
Right.
We I don't even no know control. What it is. So, like, that is what I'm telling you, is that all of a sudden this article appears in the RBJ who the actual landlord is. Mm-hmm. And then
Kevin O, thank you for reporting on that.
Things thank
have,
you, Kevin
things
O.
Things have gotten moving.
You brought us heat.
Things have gotten moving here.
Because if floors 4 and 5 of our building are vacant, hey, maybe the guys on 95.7 talking about the lack of heat isn't good for business.
I like that we're progressing. We're getting better every day. And just like the team that we spend the majority of our time talking about on this show, getting better every day. We're trying to be contenders here, okay? We're trying to win a championship. We have a standard of excellence. And I want to address off the top before we lay out who's stopping by the sports bar. An incident from late in the show yesterday. This occurred during happy hour. A first. It's never happened in the history of the sports bar. A caller so out of line. It was such a bad call, left us with no choice but to ban this caller from the airwaves of this fine radio station.
You made the executive decision, which you have the power to do here on the show.
Either of us do.
I thought maybe a suspension, but you immediately we went right to ban.
You know, I feel like we've warned Luke in the past. Luke from Rochester, who's called into the show over the course of our almost nine years on the air. That we've been a show here on the Fan Rochester and
9 times
all of its previous iterations. The same thing every time with this guy. The same thing every time. And I'm sure if we were to meet Luke in person, Luke would be fine. I'd be fine with Luke. Buy Luke a beer or whatever he wants to drink, and have a conversation about sports. But the problem is, inevitably, it always goes to fire the coach. And yesterday's call, man, yesterday felt good. It was a victory Monday. We were talking about all the things that the Bills did right against the Ravens. The vibes are up.
Yeah.
Adam and Arondekoy calls in. Whenever Adam and Arondekoy calls in, we're having a good day.
You got by a team that you had the toughest matchup against of all these remaining teams. Not that Kansas City isn't going to be one, but holy cow, you were able to beat a team you lost to 35-10 earlier in the season. And it's a holiday, and yes, we're all a little sleep-deprived, and we're a little groggy, but man, this feels good.
I was in a great mood yesterday. Great mood. And then this happened during happy hour.
Luke in Rochester. Welcome, Luke.
Hey, guys. I like your thinking today. Listen, Gary kind of made me realize that the Bills are really a good team, and you guys sort of went off and talked about possible parade. I think it could happen. However, last night was really concerning for me. Joe Brady had 36 rushing attempts, 22 passing attempts. Bills could have blown the Ravens out in the second half when they received kickoff, where they were up by 11. If they actually passed the ball, you got Tony Romo, as the game was tightening, talking about how the ball should be in Josh Allen's hands at least two out of the three downs. And he's repeating it several times. But it's not the first game they said that involving the Bills. I think the last time they played Kansas City might have been the other time. But I can't wait for Brady to leave. And he should take McDermott.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. Luke. Okay. Luke.
Time out.
No, Luke, you're... You've got to be...
Oh. Luke just hates every coach. Okay. If it's not McDermott, it's Brady, Luke? Are you out of your mind, dude? If we're lucky, we have him as an offensive coordinator again next year because he's going to be a head coach in the NFL. And he's going to be a head coach in the NFL because he knows when to put his foot on the gas and he knows when to take it off. And he's working hand-in-hand with the head coach who you've called on this show for to be fired multiple times and a lot of times for no reason other than you just don't like the guy. Luke, come on. Come on, man. We're better than that. This show is better than that. You need to be better than that. It's a victory Monday, and you want to see, you can't wait for Joe Brady to leave? Luke? Banned!
Whoa.
Banned! You're done! I'm executive powers on the sports bar. Luke has been banned from the show. You heard me.
Wow.
And Luke, I don't know what's going on in your life, buddy. I hope you're okay. But to call up on a victory Monday and say, I can't wait for Joe Brady to leave, you're banned.
I've heard this, like, well, Brady's game plan. Can we review the two drives? Because everybody's thinking double dip. Hand off to Cook with a six-man front. You only get the 1 yard. Pass to Dalton. Kincaid needs to catch that ball.
Yes.
It's an execution thing on that drive. And then the third is blown up because, well, guys got through. Again, execution drop. Well, why is Brady calling, you know, the screen to Dawson Knox? Timeout. That was a Josh Allen check.
I'm stunned. I'm speechless. He's called in so many times in the past. We need to fire Sean McDermott. Like, I've been critical of Sean McDermott. You've been critical of Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott is not being fired. And Joe Brady, we shouldn't be calling up on a victory Monday saying, I can't wait for Joe Brady to not be here anymore. Are you out of your freaking mind? Luke, be better.
Okay, I'm going to raise my hand here. Mike Danger, hi, I'm the call screener of the show. What do I tell somebody who has been wow, here's the list. Luke from Rochester.
That's right.
Banned.
That's right. Congratulations, Luke.
You can still listen. You're welcome to listen. You're just not going to get on the air.
We appreciate it, Luke. You are on the list, one of one. That is the worst call we have taken in the... How many years have we been on the air?
This is going to be coming up on year number nine.
We're coming up on year number nine.
Nine times.
That is the worst call we have taken in the history of the sports bar. Luke, you're banned. And with that, we've set a new bar. New standard for excellence. Rome used to say it all the time on his show. More of me and less of you is a good thing for the show, right? He would say it all the time. Because too often people would, you know, grab a vine and try to take it in the direction they want it to go. And it's like, no, no, no. Trust us. We come in here as prepared as we can be every single day. We know who we're going to talk to and what we're going to talk about. What we're not going to do is give you free rein to come on the show and say things on a Victory Monday like, I can't wait for Joe Brady to leave. That's a it's a terrible take. It's a terrible call. You're banned. You're done. A new standard of excellence has been set in the sports bar with this banning.
I would listen to the how did Baltimore adjust? How did the Bills not put up more than the, 6 points in the second half? Those are all fair conversations.
Yes.
But to ask for a different offensive coordinator?
I can't wait for Joe Brady to be out of here. I can't wait for Joe Brady to be out of here after the Bills beat the Ravens at home in the divisional round to advance to the AFC Championship and cap off a season where they went undefeated at home. I can't wait for Joe Brady to leave your band. Your band. And if you're listening, you're wondering, should I call the sports bar at 866-4326? Just know, if you have something to add to what Gino and I are talking about, you hear us on a topic and you have something that we maybe aren't thinking of or something that you have thought of that you would like to add to the conversation, we will listen to you. We're not afraid to put people on the air. We will put you on the air. In fact, we encourage it. We want you to be a part of the conversation. I'll even say we're better when you are adding something to the conversation. But if your contribution is going to be that, don't waste our time. Don't waste your time. Luke is banned. Sorry, Luke. Sorry to make you the example. But we have to, this team could win the Super Bowl. This is, could be a championship team. We got to be a championship team here in the sports bar, Gino.
Like, used to be the, oh, well, you can go listen to this or that show and run. No, no, we're
that's
we're,
right.
This is it, folks.
That's right.
And I don't serve the person, and you don't serve the person who calls in. We're serving the audience.
That's right. I hope everyone listening understands what, like, we're not trying to be jerks. We're not, Gino is not one-upping you in this instance. Trust me, he's not. This is just us saying, maybe it's more me than it is you, Gino, but that set me off so much yesterday. It ruined my mood. I was angry after that. Like, how could somebody be so upset? I mean, he wasn't upset at first, and then inevitably he gets to this point where it's like, I can't wait for him to leave. Go take that energy to the Buffalo Sabres when we're talking about the Sabres. Not the team that's on the precipice of making it to their first Super Bowl since the 90s. What are we doing? Anyways, that wanted to address that off the top. We've got a great show for you today, and we do encourage you, if you dare, to call on the Good Smoke Barbecue and Pub Wingman line. 866-4FAN is the phone number, 866-4326. Award-winning barbecue from Good Smoke Barbecue and Pub, 135 West Commercial Street, ER, goodsmokebbq.com. Look, many of our regulars who call up are great, well thought out. They have thoughts. They have takes. They're not trying to push their own agenda. They're steering it the direction that we're going. You're a great enhancement. We love that. Yesterday was awesome. Adam and Arondakoy, Tim in San Diego, Brad in Rochester. Great calls.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, hate to make you the example. That was the worst call that we've taken on the air on this show in the last almost 9 years.
Now, look, you believe in second chances. I believe in second chances. We're not Major League Baseball. This isn't baseball with Pete Rose. I'm going to say this. Luke, if you want to have the conversation off air and apply for reinstatement, I will listen to that. You have to convince Mike Danger for that, too, if you want to get back on the air.
I may not be as forgiving, but we'll see.
Well, we have to be better than Fire the Coach Radio. That is the lowest common denominator.
It's just lazy.
If you want to be that miserable, go cheer for the Sabres.
Yes, that's right.
Go yeah, and save follow that energy.
Because honestly, even when McDermott has made mistakes this season specifically, we've been critical. Everybody was critical after the Rams loss. Everybody was critical after the Ravens blowout. You know, that's what we're going to do. But sitting here saying, well, he needs to be fired. We're not there. And it's not happening. Not with this guy. Not with his staff. They're on the precipice of the Super Bowl. We want to see people leave? I can't wait for him to leave? Horrible call. Sorry, Luke. Terrible. Now that that's out of the way, we've got a great show lined up right here.
I think yesterday the part that you didn't play was to calm you down. We went back to the music. We're not allowed to play the music unless it's a Victory Monday.
Yeah, we don't want to jinx anything. In fact, a little superstitious? How about we've had this guy on, even though he's a fantasy football expert, he's Bills Mafia, and we won't let him off the air because he's been with us throughout the season. Michael F. Florio from NFL Network stops by before we get to happy hour later on this afternoon.
Listen, if we have a regular in the sports bar who has the credentials, NFL Network... Yes, and he's one of us. Absolutely, come on in. I wasn't here for that segment. How is he doing? Because he's in Los Angeles. Last I talked to him, he was out of the out of the range there just a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's okay. Admittedly, I didn't really ask him how he's doing with the wildfires last week while you were out. But we did talk a lot of Bills, and I'll tell you this: one of the things I'm going to find out from Florida or have him explain. Because he was going back and forth about this today on X, I noticed, and I love this debating point, because it's too late to say that this could sway the MVP vote one way or the other. The votes have been cast. It's probably going to be Lamar. He was AP first team All-Pro, and which means Allen will play second fiddle. But if you want to say that the voters got it wrong, all you have to do is look at the Bills' defensive game plan against the Ravens, because their defensive game plan was to put it in Lamar's hands.
We're not going to let Derrick Henry beat us. We're going to sell out. This is according to Ty Dunn. This was the game plan, which shouldn't surprise anybody.
No.
And also, I did point this out. You didn't have Zay Flowers.
We're going to let him fall on his face.
Yeah.
We're going to let him make mistakes. We believe we can pressure him into mistakes. Our quarterback is cool. He's collected. You can come after him. He's not going to make the mistakes your quarterback is going to make. And to me, that's why they're going to get it wrong when they name him the MVP. It should be Josh Allen. It should be Josh Allen.
Well, when does this take place? It takes place the night before the Super Bowl in New Orleans. So can you imagine a world? And hey, for the one Kansas City fan that's actually listening to you could say the same thing. Hey, my quarterback had only one loss this season. Okay, fine. Whatever it is. But Lamar will win his third MVP, and Josh Allen, we'd all like to think, will be actually playing in the game the next day that matters.
The only thing they could key on is a defense for Baltimore. The only thing they really needed to key on was Josh Allen. How do we stop Josh Allen? How do we prevent that guy? And Josh Allen didn't really throw the ball downfield. Made a couple plays with the legs close to the goal line, got a couple of touchdowns, but the Bills' defensive game plan was, we want Lamar with the ball in his hands. I love that. I love that the MVP was who they wanted to. He's going to beat himself.
This is going to follow him until he actually breaks through. Now, a lot of people are pointing out, to his credit, hey, he bounced back, and so did that team
sure. In
the second half. Now, the Andrews fumble really had nothing to do with, but that's the margin in postseason football.
Yep.
You can't afford to give away two possessions like the Ravens did. Three in total with Andrews.
So we'll talk to Michael F. Florio right around 4:45 before we get to Florio in the 4 o'clock hour. Rochester Americans head coach Mike Leone stops by. Now, this is a weekend where they got one. They got 3 out of 6 points from this weekend, where their first three games in 3 day stretch. Lehigh Valley Friday, Saturday, and then Hershey on Sunday. We'll recap that action, including Friday night here at Blue Cross Arena, which word on the street is Leo was in rare form after Friday night's game. This was a controversial ending, and I can't wait for him to explain exactly what went down and how it went down and what might be different about the AHL here.
Yeah, and the weekend away coming up, Providence Friday, Hartford Saturday. The team is going to be home a couple times the following week, so we'll talk some Amherst hockey. First place, Rochester Americans hockey in the 4 o'clock hour.
I love that. Matt Perino joins us here in just a couple few from the Syracuse Post-Standard, covering the Buffalo Bills. Love our catch-up conversations with Matt Perino. He'll be stopping by here in just a couple few. You know the phone number. You can also engage with us on Elon's Twitter. That is X. We are at the Fan Rochester. Oh, now the regulars. Regular on regular crime.
Oh, no.
Let's start with the positives first, Frank. Hey, it was great meeting y'all at Three Heads last week. A lot of fun. Enjoy watching the show and living color. Thanks for being so cordial. Frank, one of our regulars, we had the chance to meet for the first time on Friday, and he was, you know, couldn't have been cooler, and you don't have to thank us, Frank. The pleasure is all ours. Thanks for supporting the show.
Yeah, and anybody that loves the Amherst, and Frank is, I'm not sure if he still is a season ticket holder, but goes to a lot of games. If you have a question that you want to put forward, ask the coach, we'll do that for you, just like Frank did a couple weeks ago.
Now, Frank wants to take credit for the Amherst being in first place.
Well, I'll let him do that.
Go ahead, Frank. Yes, it was. It was us asking about the grittiness and the toughness and the heaviness of the Amherst that prompted them to go on a massive win streak. But we appreciate you stopping out, Frank, and we'll continue to ask Coach Leone questions that you guys have for him and for this team. Dan reaching out at the Fan Rochester. Can't believe it's been 9 years of the sports bar. I remember listening to the first episode. We don't talk about
Dan. No.
Happy you two are still going. I've been a loyal listener the last 9 years, even though I'm not able to listen to every episode. And now you knew this was going to happen. From a user named Rubber Band Mouth, can we ban Linda from Webster?
No.
She's annoying AF.
No.
Makes me change the station.
No.
Stop. No. We love Linda. Linda's sweet as pie.
I just talked to her off air and said we couldn't take her call right now.
Right. And you know what? Linda, don't be discouraged. We appreciate you listening. It's one man's opinion. We know a lot of regulars have opinions on some of the callers. John from Rochester. Yeah, you know, we see it. We hear it. We'll do our best. We're here to set a standard. Hopefully we live up to that expectation and keep you informed and entertained for the next 2 hours plus here in the sports bar. That includes a conversation next with Matt Perino covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard as the team prepares for a week of practice and a trip to Kansas City in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, I feel Tuesdays in the sports bar, it's like the final word on what we just saw. And if you still want to bask a little bit, the players aren't allowed to. We can do that, and the Ravens win. But we're looking ahead to Kansas City. And I got to ask Matt Perino, how many trips has he made now to Kansas City? I'm losing count of all these games. Yeah,
right. Matt Perino next, and we'll talk more Bills here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
The Fan Rochester. Sports update.
Line moving for the AFC Championship. Chiefs now favored by 2 points over Buffalo. It was 1.5 yesterday. Sean McDermott wants to make this week like any other week.
You know, I think at the end of the day, it's normal routine, normal approach. Make sure we're prepared during the week to do our jobs and do them at a high level.
Team off today. A walkthrough closed to the media will be taking place tomorrow. 2 p.m. for our pregame coverage this Sunday here on The Fan. Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, and the Shout Podcast joining us next year. Sabres tonight. The West Coast swing continues. Next stop in Vancouver. 10 p.m. for the coverage here on The Fan. Buffalo losing yesterday in Seattle. Rochester Americans are next in action Friday night in Providence. We'll talk to head coach Mike Leone next hour. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
He just continues to churn out positive yards against defenses. And while you're not maybe getting the huge chunks, this is the most efficient ball control 10-plus play drive offense in the league. So, you know, getting him to not make a 2-yard run into a 4-yard run, I think is just as big as minimizing some of the explosives.
There's Dan Orlovsky from ESPN earlier with One Bills Live talking about Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco. We'll dig into that matchup between the Bills and the Chiefs coming up Sunday evening from Kansas City. Matt Perino covering the team for the Syracuse Post-Standard joining us now as he does every Tuesday at this time. Buddy, man, this has been a fun, wild ride. I'd love for it to continue for another few weeks. And we look back at what happened Sunday night. I find it really fascinating as we learn a little bit more about what led to the Bills getting that win, that it was actually the Bills' defensive game plan to keep the ball in the hands of the presumptive MVP.
Well, first off, let me say I'm going to tread lightly today. I don't want to be getting banned from any shows in Rochester. You know, it's tough. It's tough sledding out there for anybody that is on the other side of the line I'm hearing. So I'm just going to be careful today. I don't want to make anybody upset.
All you have to worry about is not coming in here and saying that Joe Brady, you can't wait for Joe Brady to no longer be a part of the organization. I mean, like, I'm not wrong here, Matt. Don't make me feel guilty for banning Luke from Rochester.
No, I just know that you run a tight ship, and I like to keep sailing along with both of you.
The expectations are high.
I like that. When it comes to the game plan this past week, yeah, it makes sense to, you know, the way that game played out the first time around in week 4, to be eliminated in that way, to, like, you know, what's the definition of stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I think the fact that they wanted to try to limit Derrick Henry, like, so much was being made about that performance, and it was a great performance. I know they were down a couple of key pieces. Henry had played 2 games in Orchard Park before that, both in Tennessee, and he was averaging somewhere around 3.2 yards a carry in those games. So he had never really come into Buffalo and had this explosive game, and he still averaged double that, 5.5 per carry. But it was more so than the game plan and the way that it played out. Some of the decision making by Todd Monken in that game, I've been very critical on. I posted a clip. Their second down play after Henry gets stopped. So to your point, stopping Henry on first down changed the math in Monken's head for how to approach the next couple downs. Conventional wisdom would say, go run it again 3 more times. You're inside the 5-yard line. But he sends Lamar Jackson back to pass. Ronnie Staley, their all-pro left tackle, is reported eligible, and he's running a pattern on the play. And Lamar Jackson gets sacked, and then the next play is an incompletion, and they have to settle for a field goal. It's like those little moments in the game. Also, Matt Milano, it's funny because fantastic. I think a lot of Ravens fans were poking fun at the Bills for advocating for the fact that Milano was going to be a difference maker. And that's exactly what he was in so many different little ways. If he doesn't tip that pass on the 2-point conversion attempt and they score that there, they're kicking an extra point on that final touchdown drive to win the game. And so, or at least put themselves in a lead late in the game. And then Allen obviously gets it back. But so many little moments, the Bills made plays not to lose the game, and sometimes you have to do that. Whereas I think that the Ravens, conversely, made so many losing plays in that game.
Matt, I might get in trouble for saying this, but I took note that when the locker room kind of opened on Sunday night, like, a lot of the guys that you would go to had already gone out. It's almost like, hey, this is nice. But not hearing from Dawkins or Oliver or Rousseau or a lot of these players, Matt, that normally you would go to for a post game, just kind of told me one thing. Hey, this is nice, but we're already moving on to Kansas City here.
Yeah, and that's the crazy part about that game and the way that it was billed, rightfully so, was this game of the year, and it felt so, I don't know, disappointing that we were getting that in the divisional round, but the way that is because Kansas City is still the team that you have to beat, and you have to go on the road to do it. So I don't think it's funny, like, the celebration for a win like that, you should have felt more, right, in the room. Yeah. And there was some, you know, some chest puffed out a little bit when we talked to Ed Oliver. They had heard the noise during the week, and, you know, it was actually my question to McDermott that kind of raised some eyebrows late in the week about, I was just kind of relaying the message. You know, everything that I read and heard on the national scene throughout the week was about the fact that the Ravens run out 7+300-pounders in a lot of their packages. And one of the criticisms of the Bills and the way that they're made, their roster, are they big enough to not get bullied by that Ravens team that bullied the Steelers the week before? And that's the Steelers. I mean, they have Cam Hayward in the middle of their defense, one of the biggest defensive tackles, one of the most athletic defensive tackles. So I thought it was a fair question. And the way McDermott answered it and the way that they kind of responded after the game tells you that they've heard all the noise. And they say two things. They say, one, we don't listen to the outside noise. But then they also say, we heard the messages. And that's a big thing. That's part of what makes sports so great, is like the questions and then whether or not you're able to answer those questions. And the Bills answered it in a huge way. And I think Lamar, more than anything, lived up to the narrative, fair or not, that he makes mistakes in big games. He made multiple mistakes, including that play I referenced earlier, which was a sack on second down. You cannot take a sack in the red zone in that spot.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And to your point about them kind of having their satellite up, their antenna up, and they're listening to what's being said while they're saying that they're not listening to what's being said. Hey, everybody knows they're going to go into this game as an underdog. The line is moving more in favor of Kansas City here as the week goes on. That's exactly, I think, where we want to be, is it not?
Oh, without a doubt. And I think if you ask Sean McDermott off the record, he'd tell you the same exact thing. He would never actually answer that question. But if he were, I think he would tell you that. And, you know, this is a team that it operates best when people doubt it. And, you know, I think for as much as people are doubting it right now, there's also this sentiment that this feels like the best chance for the Bills to finally dethrone the Chiefs. And it's kind of crazy to say that in the year where they beat them already, and you know the Chiefs are probably have that stuck in the back of their head. But it's a team that has gone through all of these different versions of losing and all of this disappointment over the last couple of years. And they're built in a way that I think no matter how this game goes on Sunday, they're built to play from ahead, to have to come from behind. They've done that before against the Chiefs, and most of it's been in the regular season. But those are key things. And, you know, I think this was maybe a little bit of a wake-up call for Joe Brady. I was a little bit critical of how conservative it felt in the third quarter, only because I don't think you want to get in the habit of having Lamar Jackson on the field twice as much as Josh Allen in a quarter. Like, that didn't feel like a good, but to Gene's point, I was listening to the clip yesterday, Dalton Kincaid's got to make that catch. I was very critical of that. And this, to me, is a bigger question about Dalton Kincaid in year two. I mean, we're sitting here, there's only been one game where he's had 10 or more targets. Most of the games, 7 and less, he's had probably half or more with 5 or less targets. It's just, he hasn't been the instrument in this offense that I think people expected going into the season. And listen, there's no greater time than the present to maybe change the math on that. I'll be interested to see how the Bills deploy their offense against Kansas City, who knows it so well. They ran it pretty well earlier in the season. I think they're still going to be able to run the ball. But can Josh Allen affect the game in the passing game more? Do they feel like on the road they have to be a little bit more aggressive with the play calling? Or is this just going to be a mistake off where you are Sean McDermott, you're Andy Reid, and you're playing chicken? Who's going to make the mistake first? It's going to be a fun game to watch.
We know how much those mistakes are magnified in a game like what we're going to see on Sunday, like they were on last Sunday. And not a lot of people, it's not sexy to talk about something other than the two, you know, quarterbacks or the playmakers. But, man, I love the trenches. I love looking at the matchup between offensive line and defensive line. And it was fun to do last week. I think it's going to be fun to do with this matchup as well. And I feel as if the Bills' defensive line might have a slight edge over Kansas City's offensive line going into this game, just knowing that there's been a little lack of continuity there throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, the move of Joe Tooney out to left tackle when it first happened raised my eyebrows a bit, because he's an elite-level guard, and at tackle, at 32 years old, I just don't know if he has the kind of quickness and speed to deal with, you know, what you're going to deal with in this Bills defensive line. I mean, Von Miller's playing the best football he's played since 2022. Greg Rousseau has been a menace, especially in the run game. And, Isaiah Pacheco has not been nearly as good since he's come back as he was earlier in the season, or the player that they saw last year. Kareem Hunt's a problem at times, but I do think the Bills had some success against him. But to me, that's the matchups to watch. I mean, Juwan Taylor, he's a guy that, like, notorious for that getting off early and potentially being a penalty threat for them at home. I really like the Bills matchup on the outside. And I think you have Ed Oliver and Daquan Jones, who have put together two pretty good playoff games. It hasn't been the one where I think Bills fans have been waiting for, but again, no better time than the present to finally affect a game against the Chiefs. And I had Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated on my podcast today, and he brought up the fact that the last three playoff games for the Bills against the Chiefs, total sacks for the Bills against the Chiefs, 3. They're averaging 1 a game. That's not enough. That's not enough. You have to affect Patrick Mahomes more. We saw last week, if Nick Caserio had built that offensive line the way that he should have, or at least paid a little bit more mind to it, I think Houston wins that game last week, because they just could not protect C.J. Stroud. And a couple of those sacks were on him, but it was just the floodgates were open. I mean, that drive in the red zone when he got sacked on second and third down, it's just like, what else do you want them to do? And then on the other side of the ball, I thought Will Anderson was destructive. Danielle Hunter had a good game. Tim Settle looked pretty good. You know, the Bills' defensive line should be able to affect Mahomes, and I'm interested to see, of all the teams left, and that includes the Eagles and the Commanders, I really think the Bills are the only team that can beat the Chiefs any given Sunday. I get that. But I picked it last week. I said whoever wins the game between the Bills and the Ravens was going to be my Super Bowl pick, and I'm sticking with it.
Matt Parrino, Shout Podcast, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Matt, I thought DeMar Hamlin had a really nice game. They used him some different ways. He helped force that turnover that Von Miller returned. But my question is, okay, there are a couple other concerns in the secondary. How do we feel about Cole Bishop if Taylor Rapp isn't ready to go? And gosh, that was a little bit of a surprise yesterday to hear Christian Benford, concussion protocol, missed that. Maybe that was on the onside kick. So, I mean, we're not going to know anything about Benford maybe up until game time. Who knows on that? But your thoughts on Patrick Mahomes perhaps seeing a depleted secondary here?
Yeah, the Benford news is concerning, without a doubt. I mean, if he's not available, now you harken back to last season when I think a lot of Bills fans would tell you if Benford was available, Bernard was available, the Bills maybe win that game at home against the Chiefs. So the more starters you're down, the more concerned you get. And listen, I think Taylor Rapp has been important for what they do. I think he's had a good season. But I've liked a lot of what I've seen from Cole Bishop over the last month and a half. And I think getting those reps down the stretch was critical for him. And if Rapp can't go, and he's day-to-day right now, I think it's going to be Bishop, who gets the first-team reps all week just in case he can't. And that's huge. Like, in the game-planning meetings, and I know these guys all tell you that they approach every game like they are the starter, and that's a smart mindset to have. But it's one thing to say that and go through that practice, and then there's a whole other thing to actually get those reps in practice. And, you know, Micah Hyde being there is huge. I know Sean said he won't play, but even Hamlin said after the game, like, the impact Hyde has had on Bishop since he's been back, like that player coach, extra voice in a room, it's huge. Like, just being able to go out there and play freely, knowing that you've done all the mental work beforehand. And then, oh by the way, you have a guy like Micah Hyde over your shoulder. That's really huge.
Do you think defensively they employ a similar strategy in dealing with Mahomes as they did with Jackson, in terms of having Milano just kind of play center field or play the spy there to make sure that they can keep Mahomes contained? Or is it just he's too valuable in pass coverage to make sure that Travis Kelce doesn't do what he inevitably does and feels like in every playoff game he's in, which is find that soft spot and always find himself open?
I think it's so fitting if Bishop has to play, because I remember when they drafted him, Kincaid saying that in college he just locked him up over and over again. Could that be just this unbelievable story in the championship game if Bishop finds a way to make some big plays against Travis Kelce? But I don't know if you're going into it expecting that. The thing with Milano is I do think that you want to spy Mahomes with him at times, but I'd also say I don't think they're going to be as blitz happy against Kansas City as they were against Lamar. And there's this other piece too. Josh Reed tweeted this, I think earlier today. Bill Belichick was on the Inside the NFL show in October, and he said, nobody spins the dial like Sean McDermott in the NFL in terms of how many different looks and defenses he tries to throw at a team. And that's, I think, what he's going to continue to do. I think you want to be very mobile with how you are sending different packages out there and what you're doing. I don't think you want Patrick Mahomes to settle into any kind of consistent attack, whether it be a spy, no spy, or man or zone.
We really didn't see much of the Bills' passing game against the Ravens, which is fine. That was the game plan. It worked out in the end. But, Matt, in the temperatures this game, it looks like it's not going to be brutal in Kansas City. We'll put it that way. Just your thoughts here, because it seems like, we haven't seen much of Amari Cooper. And you mentioned Dalton Kincaid. I mean, just some of these guys, could we expect a different approach on offense this week?
You wonder if they haven't been setting this up a little bit, and it coincides with the matchups that you mentioned. Like, they were never going to be super pass heavy against that Ravens team. It was ball control was at a premium in that game, so I get it. But we've seen the highlight moments of Amari Cooper in this offense. It's in there somewhere, and I also think at 30 years old, like, you know, you may only have a couple of really high volume games in a season for Cooper. I mean, he's not super young. So that's a piece of it. I also think that Keon Coleman, there's that other storyline of Coleman versus Worthy in that game. And, you know, Worthy had the stats, I believe, in the regular season matchup, and we'll see if the Bills look to involve Coleman a little bit more. But even when they go jumbo, there's opportunities in the passing game for the tight ends, for the boundary guys. I think Khalil Shakir versus Trent McDuffie, if that ends up being the primary defender when against Shakir in this game, has the chance to be a really fun matchup to watch. And listen, Vernon Ram said this today too. Like, these teams don't know how to play games in the playoffs that aren't close since the AFC title game a couple years ago. And so I think it's going to be who executes and converts the best late in the fourth quarter. I think they'll probably play a close game. I think it's going to end up being maybe another classic.
And to bring it around kind of full circle, we started by talking about the ridiculous notion that I can't wait for Joe Brady to not be with the Bills anymore. I mean, talk a little bit about what you're watching when you see this Bills offense operating under Joe Brady, because to my eyes, as you watch, there's always somebody open. There's always separation and a target for Allen to hit, even if it's the underneath stuff. And it's not always downfield. There's always an open guy.
Yeah, and I think like what he does really well is that he will diagnose in-game when a play works. So, for instance, this last game, an example of that is that pitch play. I think the first time he ran it, I can't remember if it was Ty Johnson or James Cook, but it worked, and then he kind of spams that play. And in this game, I don't know if that approach necessarily worked. A lot of those pitches in the second half didn't go for many yards, but they ran different looks out of it multiple times to try to see if they could continue to gain an advantage in that play. You know what was the coolest play that I saw in that game against the Ravens that I think that they can really lean into is getting Reggie Gilliam in the game with Cook and then passing out of it. And what ended up happening was it was kind of like a wheel route, but kind of like a screen pass, and Gilliam got out in front and blocked the one corner, and Cook ended up running for 10 yards. Like, you can get really creative with what you can do in the passing game with your backs, because all three of your backs can catch it out of the backfield. And really, if you want to get super crazy, you could throw it to Gilliam. He's done that before too. He's got a little tight end in him. So I think he's been super creative. I think Aaron Cromer's implementation or integration into the run game and how much he has say in this offense really just helps them in the run game, but also in the short passing game.
Matt, last one for me, and we had Mike Catalan of 13 Wham on with us yesterday, and he said he had been to Kansas City so many times, he's barbecued out. Have you reached that point now?
Same. We're still going to go to Joe's, the gas station there. It's delicious, so I'm still going to go. But I am barbecued out. And honestly, I did the math. This is my sixth time to Kansas City since being on the beat. And, you know, it's fine. But, like, it's just one of those cities that – and I'm sure that they probably think this way about Buffalo. Like, for us, it's the barbecue. We've had it so many times. They probably have wings so many times. They've probably gone to all the big places. So they're just like – I don't know, but here's the bottom line. No matter what you think about going to the city or the cuisine or anything like that, I'll go to Kansas City every single time because, man, these two teams do not know how to play a game that isn't just electric. And with everything on the line and the chance for the Bills to go to the Super Bowl, I mean, listen, you put aside if not all of the fan part of it when you start covering the team. I just think you have to. I think it happens organically. I've talked about this on my podcast and the show. But listen, for the city and what it means for the town and the people, I mean, my entire family are Bills fans. It would be really, really cool to cover a Super Bowl and to see this group go. I think that they've been through just crazy adversity over the last 5 years in so many different ways. You mentioned Hamlin a minute ago. And to see him have the game that he had against the Ravens, knowing everything that he's gone through, yeah. There's so many cool stories on this team to be able to finally break through when everybody – nationally was writing them off before the season. It's a story that I wouldn't mind writing here come 5 days from now.
Yeah, it feels different, doesn't it? What do you got going on this week here at Syracuse.com that we could check out? Shout podcast. You busy this week, Matt? You got anything happening?
Nothing. I'm taking the week off. Just kidding. Every single day we'll have you covered with a podcast. We'll be out at One Bills Drive tomorrow, Thursday and Friday. Have you covered there. We'll have some stories up at the website. It's gonna be a fun week to get ready for another heavyweight fight.
Cannot wait for Sunday. Always appreciate your time, Matt. Great stuff as always.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Matt. There's Matt Perino covering the Buffalo Bills, Syracuse.com, the Syracuse Post Standard, and of course the Shout podcast where you can download wherever you get your pods.
The Benford storyline is going to be one world, and just like Ray Davis. Sean McDermott's going to put you on a need-to-know basis, and right now, you don't need to know.
I mean, based on how the Davis protocol went last week, I'm really not that concerned. Like, I have a feeling that Christian Benford, I know it's not up to him. It's not up to him, but these guys want to be out there. They're not going to miss time if they can avoid it.
And, well, it's where we get Dr. Nick on that.
Where is Dr. Nick?
Dr. Nick. Can Christian Benford play?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
I think you said yes.
By the way, yes. I didn't get to watch, the Eagles-Rams game because I was at the game, but I did look up the monitor. I'm like, Jalen Hurts, for whatever reason, I don't know why, at the time he was going into the tent. Outside the tent was Big Dom.
Yeah.
Like, Big Dom is managing the tent?
That's right. Hey, he's the bouncer.
Big Dom says Jalen can go back.
Yeah. Hey, you want to get in the tent? Keep walking, pal. Your name's not on the list.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Amherst head coach Mike Leone stepping by the sports bar next hour. We'll also talk more Bills with Michael F. Florio from NFL Network. The one element of the game on Sunday that we didn't talk about with Perino, and honestly, I don't want to talk about it, but we know who is going to be officiating this game on Sunday, and the moment that the Chiefs advanced to the AFC Championship, we all started to hear the chatter, in my opinion, the nauseating chatter of the refs being in bed with Kansas City. I have some thoughts.
Okay, so there is one kind of aspect to the game. Are we allowed to feel bad for Mark Andrews? We'll give you the latest here, what's happened since the game with Mark Andrews. And if I may, Danger, if you'll allow it, a non-sports take to just kind of lighten the mood here.
Of course, a little non-sports take on the way. We'll get to Mike Leone, and we'll get to Michael F. Florio all coming up before 5 o'clock here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.